This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this episode of In the Black. This week, we're trying a new format. We are speaking with our coach, our fitness business coach, our business consultant, whatever you want to call it, Sean Greeley, who is the founder of MP. We wanted to potentially look at doing a kind of regular segment with him where we answer your questions related to fitness business, obviously specializing in gyms, but really it's for anyone that is interested in entering the fitness industry, whether casually, part-time, full-time, or you know, becoming a business owner in the industry, and just getting a kind of a roundtable discussion, not just the perspective of Raf and I. Obviously, he is so experienced and so advanced. He's basically a master when it comes to growing and running and selling gyms. So we wanted to get Sean on to talk about those questions. So we talk about all that stuff. We catch up a little bit. So I think you guys are really going to enjoy this format. We really want your feedback. We want to know if you enjoyed this episode, if you think a regular segment is a good idea. Just let us know on Instagram, message the My Muscle Project. So we'll get to that. Before we do, we want to talk about, obviously, MPE's got a 90-day coaching program. It wraps up everything they do in a 12-month coaching program, compresses it into 90 days, cuts out all the fat, and just really is kind of the non-commitment. So it's only really that short period of time that you really go hard for, and you can turn your business around or really grow it and take it to the next level. If you guys want to join that program, they're letting 50 gyms in. So I'm not sure how many are in there at the moment, but you can qualify for it. You can enter by going to the link in the description of this episode. That's MP's 90-day coaching program. They have not done something like this before. So obviously, it's everything that we've learned, but compressed in a 90-day window. So it's good. You can kind of set the 90 days in the calendar and go super hard for those 3 months. And then kind of at the end of it, you'll have a completely different gym and a much bigger number in your bank account. As well, guys, supporting the show today is Hyperice. Raf, you and I have been using the Hyperice products at the gym on ourselves.
I'm a Hyperice addict.
Yeah, but not just us. We've also been using it with our clients. Some of our clients, they walk in, they go, my back's a bit stiff, or I'm in a bit of pain. The best one has been for us is the Venom Back. It's the thermal back strap. So basically, it's like, imagine a weightlifting belt, but really, really wide. Covers basically from your hip bone all the way up to the bottom of your ribs. And you just put the big Velcro strap on. And it's got this really cool piece of technology. You kind of feel like Iron Man. And you turn it on and it starts to heat and vibrate your lower back. And I just strap it on clients in the warm-up that have a bad back. By the end of it, my God, they are completely pain-free. Mm. But they're ready to go. Their back is warm.
Such a big
they're
difference.
Sweating. The heat's there.
And you can do kind of regular movements as you warm up with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really high-quality product. And that's really like the whole Hyperice range. So if you are a gym owner, I definitely would recommend at least getting some kind of high-end percussion device, whether it's their foam roller, their Hyperice Mini, Hypersphere, I think they call it, which is just like a vibrating ball. And then the gun, of course, the Hypervolt. I tell you what, it has made our gym feel super premium.
Yeah, it's a really good addition. I would say particularly if you do any PT in your gym, maybe you're the owner or some of your coaches do a few PT clients, bringing out something like this in a PT is wicked, right? It's something they can't get anywhere else. And it really shows the value.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to start charging more money, if you want to be like a premium gym, having these sort of products in there, even though you might not really think about it intuitively that it would help, makes a big difference. Mm. Makes an absolute big difference in just the client experience. Like, oh yeah, I go to this gym, they got these 6 high-end massage, like pre-workout tools. It's awesome. So, go check out all the Hyperice tools at hyperice.com. There's an Australian website as well, hyperice.com.au. That's Hyper. ICE, Hyper Ice. And then when you check out, you can use our code MMP. That's going to get you 15% off any of their products. So very generous. That 15% off some of those products is a big number. So definitely go check it out. Hyperice.com and the code is MMP. All right, guys. Enjoy this new format with Sean Greeley. My Muscle Project, welcome back to another episode of In the Black. This may be taking the form of a more regular format. So we decided to spice things up on In the Black a little bit and bring in based off your feedback, I guess, what you think of the show, but bring on a regular guest, of course, someone that we are very good friends with and work with very closely, Mr. Sean Greeley. You've heard that name before. So, Sean, welcome to what might need its own little name, its own little segment, but welcome to the first episode.
Awesome. Excited to be here with you guys. Excited to support all the listeners out there around the world.
Awesome. So, actually, not an American, well, I guess you're an American citizen, but not an American resident right now. So I think last time we had you on the show, we were like mid-pandemic, everything shut down. We were doing like live Zoom classes. I was seeing pretty much just you, Raph, once a week. And then that was pretty much it. And Sean, you were making the decision, I think, to stay in Australia or not. So give us a little personal update. Where are you at?
Yeah, it's a great recap. It's been a crazy, you know, several months for everybody around the world, I know, wherever you're listening. My personal story with that. So last time I saw you guys face to face, we were in Sydney. It was lockdowns were just starting. I think we were in a live workshop for a couple of days in Sydney. And I remember, I think the last day, like they made an announcement, like the NBA season is shutting down in the US. And I was like, okay, this is getting serious, guys. And I was supposed to fly home in a couple of days to the US, back to California. And my wife said, no way. Are we getting on a plane right now to fly home with our little one? We had our son with us, who was almost a year old at that point. And we decided to, my wife's family is from Australia, from up in Queensland on the Gold Coast. We decided to cancel our flight to LA. We rented a car, drove up to my first Aussie road trip, which you guys prepared me for. This is not going to be like an American road trip. and drove the trek from Sydney to the Gold Coast. And, you know, what we thought would be in a couple more weeks turned into a couple months, turned into we've decided to stay here in Australia for at least the next several years. We're actually loving it here. It's been awesome. Our son is now 17 months old. Having my wife's family close by, anybody out there who has kids or if not, if you plan to have kids, you'll know how valuable it is to have grandma and family around when you have a little one that we didn't really appreciate before we had our son. And, you know, Australia's been great. It's a little pocket here, COVID-free, really easy living. You know, we're living 100 meters from the beach. It's hard to argue with the quality of life that we're getting here at the moment and really value that. And, NP, our company, is doing extremely well. I've recently just announced I hired a significant hire, chief operating officer for the company to kind of manage a lot of the day-to-day operations in the company based in the U.S. on U.S. hours. And I'm shifting my role in the organization to focus back in on really a lot of the content side for product and for marketing and just kind of all the stuff of shaping the education that we teach, which is one of the areas I love the most, and getting to work with all the intellectual property and excited about that. And, you know, helping all of our clients succeed around the world has been really the focus for the last several months. We've been extremely busy. Our clients have fortunately been very successful. As a result, our company has been very successful. It's been a busy time and a lot of things that certainly didn't plan on shaking out the way they have this year that weren't planned, but are ending up in a really good spot for us as we enter the final part of this calendar year.
Okay, so this is the money question. Do you think for the fitness industry, the global pandemic ultimately was a good thing or a bad thing?
Let's take out the judgment, good or bad. Let's say, what is it? It's a thing that is shifting the entire industry. You know, certainly people who have gotten hammered and are out of business and won't come back. You know, that is what it is. There's a lot of people who have pivoted during this time and they are running a more profitable business now than they ever have, and have, as they've been able to reopen, have grown it and are doing more revenue and more profit with less, you know, even less clients and less kind of problems and headache. And so they've got a better business today than they were, you know, pre-pandemic. And that only came out of obviously this very difficult, challenging time that you got some decisions to make. So people that have worked through that in a great spot. And today, as of where we, you know, sit of this recording, we're at the beginning of October. You know, there's still some pockets where different states around the world, different, you know, counties and areas, people are closed and they're still shut down, and it sucks. And if you haven't, you know, got a plan to evolve yet, then you're probably looking at, you know, you're running out of cash and you're running out of time to make some decisions, and decisions will be made for you. So, you know, that's kind of the landscape of what we see around the world. And that's, you know, there's a lot of variation on that. I mean, obviously we serve thousands of businesses in Australia, Asia Pacific, UK, Europe, North America, you know, US, Canada, and there's a lot of nuances to that conversation. But globally speaking,
you know, when every time there's shifts in the market, there's winners and there's losers.
Yeah.
You know, you always have decisions to make. One of the things we like to say is, you know, there are no problems, there are only decisions to make. And if you can operate from that stance and looking at the landscape in front of you and the challenges you have in front of you, if you can surround yourself with the right people to make good decisions and then execute on those, you will find a path forward, whatever that means for you. And, you know, a lot of people are fortunate to come out the other side of this better than they've been.
Mm.
How valid do you think the argument is that it still will just end up going back to normal? And then there's no real reason why the industry has changed forever. You know, it's been a really tough time, but we've had tough times in the past and potentially in like a bit over a year, the vaccine comes and there's no like permanent damage to society. People will feel safe to work out how they used to work out. Do you think it's valid that it just will eventually go back to normal? There's no permanent shift there.
I actually think there is a bit of a permanent shift there. You know, it's interesting. You know, and I'm talking about a lot of data points here that we look at. But if you look at the significant companies are doubling down on technology investments and other channels to serve the market and the ecosystem. And really just, this is a one data point, but it's an interesting one. So my mom is in her mid-60s, lives in the U.S. in the state of Massachusetts, you know, outside of, about an hour outside of Boston, and for years has been consistent around going to a studio twice a week with a trainer. You know, that's been her routine. COVID hit, she transitioned to, someone who, my mom is not a technology person, you know, I would typically in college get the calls of like, can you help me fix the Wi-Fi? I'm like, mom, I can't do that, you know, remote from where I'm at right now. Call someone else, right? But my mom, her studio pivoted to remote classes and remote training. She pivoted with them. She's now like a Zoom expert, better than, you know, my family and brother and sister and getting on calls and all that kind of stuff. And she's increased her frequency. She's training like 5 days a week with her remote fitness coach and community, because what else she's going to do? She's in isolation, you know, and bored, and it's given her a better way to engage that she doesn't have to commute. You know, it keeps her engaged. She's loving all the other touch points that create a great experience for her. And we were on a family call last night with my brother and sister, and my mom randomly, you know, I don't really talk about my business in depth with my mom, but she made the comment of just like, how are things going? And she's like, you know, I will never go back to a fitness studio ever again. And I'm like, really, what's going on? What makes you say that? Well, you know, she just listed out these reasons. And this is a demographic segment that has been fundamentally changed in how they want to engage product and service offerings in this vertical, right? Because in the time they commute to a gym and back and have to worry about safety concerns and all this other stuff, they're getting a better experience and getting better results doing a remote engagement. So, you know, again, that's one data point, but it's a significant one that is fundamentally shifting things for a lot of people. Now, you know, a 25-year-old, are they going to stop going to the gym when they can get back to the gym? No, right? So there's, you know, different demographics and different verticals and all kinds of stuff. But I do think fundamentally a lot has changed. And to truth be told, things are always changing. The fact that even the mindset of what's normal and things are static, things are never static in any market. They're always evolving. They're always changing. It's just you're choosing how you want to perceive that and engage it, right? So markets are always evolving. They're always moving. Business is a dynamic sport, right? You can't like stand still and think nothing's going to change. It's a question of how are you, you know, I like to say it's like surfing, right? Are you reading the waves and you're getting in front of the wave because, you know, the waves are always moving. So you can't sit still in the ocean and say waves come to me and don't ever change, you know, the wind blowing and, you know, the wave frequency, all that kind of stuff. You got to get in the right place for the market and the way the wind is blowing. We don't create demand in the market. We need to channel demand, understand demand, get in front of demand as a business owner. So, I think fundamentally we've got some big shifts and, you know, some really big companies that are doubling down on major investments in the hundred millions of dollars agree. So, you know, that's going to continue.
Hmm. Yeah. It seems like we definitely had a big sector become weaker, which was the original commercial gym format with thousands and thousands of clients and the majority that don't show up. And now they see no reason to pay for that gym membership because they're definitely not going to go in. So I feel like that was the biggest change that I saw. And I think that just resulted in maybe the consumer or a segment of the consumer market wanting the more niche the more boutique product, they go, okay, well, I wasn't going to my $20 a week gym. I haven't for a year, but I'm now going to spend 4 or 5 times that amount, and I'm going to go to a gym, and it's going to be a small boutique, clean, COVID safe environment. I feel like that's the biggest change I've seen, and hopefully it stays around.
Yeah, I think big boxes fundamentally change forever, right? A lot of them are just closing their shop because their business model, they're bankrupt anyway from a cash perspective. I think boutique, it's been a red ocean for a little while of how many, saturation you have of people paying $100 a month for high intensity, HIIT training in a group. Just call it something else with a different logo on the door, right? So that thing's been oversaturated, too much competition, all looks the same anyway, and group restrictions are changing that. That model's shifting significantly right now too. And I think, yeah, I think there's uplift in boutique experiences and smaller training formats. And there's a little bit of a shift. We started in heavy PT land. If you look at 2000 and prior, we shifted to all group, and now we're kind of coming back to the middle and the pendulum a little bit in that business model. And I think there's obviously significant growth in the online side, but online still having a coach led experience and, to support them in their journey. People, not everybody wants a just, on demand, let an app tell me what to do or watch a video. People still value coaching, and there's a huge growth in this remote coaching experience and engagement to support your fitness journey. And I think that we're seeing, a lot of people that had full offline businesses are now completely replaced their income and grown their client base in a virtual format. Many different flavors of what that business model looks like and the touch points, the client journey, and that kind of stuff. But that's changed, and that's, again, that will continue to grow, and people aren't going to go back to the other model because why? If you can be more efficient and get a better result and do it more faster and not have to travel and all this kind of stuff, why not, right? Mm-hmm. So nobody wants a gym membership. No one wants a studio membership. They want to be healthy and fit, and they want to make that as effective and efficient as their journey to get what they want as possible. So, businesses are innovating the way we create client journeys and the way we, engage the demand and drive of the consumer to channel that through our businesses. So that's changed, forever, and we push the lines on innovation, and they keep going further and further.
Hmm. What I love though is, I think Lucky and I have talked about it, is that people that have gyms or work in gyms used to always fantasize about having an online business. Like, man, if I had an online business, it'd be so good. Like, it's like no work. And I loved in the pandemic that it was 3 months where everybody got to have an online business, and they were like, oh, dude, sucked. I was like still working heaps, even more than before, and now it was like all on the screen. Like, yeah. I'm so bored of Zoom. I can't wait to get back to the gym. Like, isn't that what you expected it was going to be? You actually find out that it ends up being pretty similar.
Hmm.
It's not like it's no work all of a sudden and it's like super easy. You just can't wait for every second of it.
Yeah.
You mean it takes work to own and grow a business? Really? Like, I thought just like there's a magic bullet and the grass is green on the other side. And, you just do this fantasy stuff and it all works for itself. No, actually, business is like fitness is like a relationship. You have to earn it every day. And the work you put into it, you get out of it. So that doesn't change whether you've got an online model or an offline model.
Mm.
And, people are waking up to there's no easy hack, to solve all your problems. You're going to have to put in work.
Hmm.
But, again, you put that in the right way. You find the points of leverage and opportunity. You get clarity around the vision, strategy to go execute. You're going to be successful. You can run a very profitable business. And now you can remove a lot of the barriers on the traditional business model of now not limited to, split shifts and trading time for dollars. You get better leverage. You got less operating costs. There's less barriers to entry in the market. You don't have to wait. Spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on equipment, build out months of permits, all that kind of stuff, which was the only way to kind of get in the game not too long ago, because now consumers will engage you differently. There's a lot of great things to having an online model, but it's still a business. You still got to work to earn it, and you got to, keep paying the price for success that's required. Just like fitness, you can't like get in shape and then stop working out and like wonder why you don't have a six pack anymore.
Mm.
Because you started eating donuts again and didn't go to the gym for a month. Like, sorry. Like, you still have to do this stuff, right? So, business is the same.
Mm. Yeah, I think we had a few people that we know try to, shift gears and be like, all right, cool. Like, I'm thinking about going online full time. I'm going to do it. This is the moment.
Mm.
Built up their social media, released it, crickets, zero people. And it's just, I think it's just a good reality check. And I think it's, in a way, it's good because they, in a really low risk situation, realized, okay, it's harder than I thought, rather than going potentially all in on it and getting rid of everything else and going for it, they kind of said, okay, well, I'm going to pull back from this other thing that I'm doing that pays my bills and try this new thing, and it completely flops. And I think it just helps overall to have tried it and failed and know how hard it actually is. Then to always have in the back of your mind, man, if I just start this Instagram page and I put these posts up, like, I'll be rich. Like, it's it's a lot harder than that. It's much harder than that. So anyway, while I'm putting a new battery in this camera as it goes flat, we've got some, well, part of the segment that we wanted to do for this show is we wanted to bring in some listener questions, but in obviously business format. Now, we've had a few questions come in. I didn't really ask for the permission to use the questions, so I will keep a couple of them anonymous, but essentially the first person reached out to me, wanted to know, reached out to me actually on LinkedIn. Great business tool, actually. People should start using it. But reached out to me and wanted to know, so they had an experience during the pandemic where they were training their colleagues online. There was like a fitness challenge online, and they ended up, I think, winning the fitness challenge and then essentially starting the next one, and ended up changing quite a few people's lives in terms of, you know, it's a financial company, so spent a lot of time at the desk, a lot of them drinking too much, getting overweight, had the initiative to start this run club. Everyone started losing a lot of weight. They found they got a lot more fulfillment out of it. And they kind of checked out of their job anyway, been in the industry about 10 years. And they wanted advice around how can they make a smart transition during this time coming out of a, you know, coming out of another industry, which is well-established, pays the bills, does really well, obviously, but fitness, completely different industry, but just I guess it seems to them like they're more passionate about this. It's always hard to know where your passions are really guiding you. But Sean, what's your best advice for someone that wanted to make a transition out?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. And congratulations. Look, when you find your passion, you know, that's beautiful, right? Because you know what makes you happy. You know what you enjoy doing. You know you would love to do this and you're fulfilled by doing this work, whether you're, you know, getting paid a lot of money or not getting paid a lot of money, it's fulfilling and meaningful work. When you find whatever that is for you and you find your purpose, and you're following your passion, you know, lean into that. Those are the places, those are great signals for you to follow that path and follow that journey where it takes you. It's going to take you into some unknown charted waters, and that's all part of the fun of entrepreneurship, and figuring out what you do and how do you make it work. I think the most important thing, you know, and we've a benefit of, you know, we've served literally thousands of people around the world, and many people coming out of different corporate careers and stuff that have wanted to make a career change into fitness. You know, our team talks to these folks that fit this profile every day, and signs them up, and they end up going through a lot of our coursework and programs. Is that you really, like anything else, like, you know, you need to find a mentor, you need to find a coach, and need to work with someone to help you define a very clear business strategy and plan. And you know, there are several steps to that, but you know, it's getting clear around, we like to call it your thrive zone. You know, who is the market that you really want to work with? So within fitness, you could be working with grandma and grandpa, you could be working with the kids, you could work with athletes, you could work with stay-at-home moms, you could work with corporate executives. You know, who is the type of customer that you love spending time with? You'd love to help these people solve their problem, achieve their goal. So that's number one. What market do you want to work with? Number two is, what problems do you love solving? Do you love helping people, you know, do bodybuilding or get out of pain or increase sports performance or, you know, get lean or whatever it is, teaching them skills, you know, around Olympic weightlifting or whatever is kind of your thing that you love to learn, you love to teach, you love to share, and you love, you know, like, this is the stuff, you know, if you're into it because you know, you read books on it on the weekend and you'll pay to go to courses to study it because you love it, you know, and you enjoy learning and teaching and sharing that with others. So what are the problems you love solving? What's the subject matter you want to become an expert in? And then third is the business model that ensures you can make a profit doing this. And that's where you need some help and guidance to figure out, what is your business model? Meaning, are you going to be doing group training, private training, semi-private training? You're going to be doing online, offline service offerings. What niche or vertical are you going to work in? What is the kind of plan of your packaging, your price points, you know, of your, of how you, what you sell? And then what are the strategies and the skills that you need to fulfill great customer experiences, convert interested people to become new clients, and ultimately go find and attract more people to the product or service offering. And, you know, all the financial numbers to understand, what's my break-even point? What do I need to do, you know, given all the numbers to actually achieve the income goals I have to replace my income or build a bridge to replace my income. And that's where having someone to help you work through that, because it's a lot of things to figure out. And if, you know, start from scratch is not easy, and getting some experience and guidance from people who've done a lot of this is going to shortcut your learning curve and ensure, you know, a whole great more probability of success. Because why do most small businesses fail? Overwhelming majority of small businesses fail. Why? Because they, A, don't have a plan, and B, don't have the skill sets they need to succeed. And those are the two things you need to invest in. You need to invest in getting a strategic plan for your business. You need to invest in acquiring the skill sets that are going to be necessary to succeed in executing your plan. So that's where you need to double down on and buy speed, you know, and really invest in buying speed. Otherwise, what are you going to do? Like, go to try to rub 2-6 together and figure it out for 10 years? Like, no one wants to do that, right? So, and time is money. And if you want to get there, then, you know, go in, go all in, commit to investing in yourself. And when you invest in yourself, you can never go wrong, because these are knowledge and skills that you gain, and you can always carry that with you and apply that in lots of domains on your journey as a small business owner, as an entrepreneur, and even as a human being. I mean, I'm sure you guys would agree, being small business owners, the investments you made in your own education and personal development have served you dramatically in all areas of your life. And I think that's, you know, so important for everybody for success.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think a lot of, as well, Lucky, like some of the more successful fitness business owners that we've seen have come from another industry. Like they weren't, it's not an industry I think you have to have lived and breathed from the time you were 10 years old. You can definitely do something else, realize you don't want to be an accountant aged 33, go into fitness and succeed really well and potentially succeed a lot better than the person that just always lived and breathed fitness and grew up in the gym and, you know, maybe studied fitness at university. You still can start it late and be really successful as well.
Yeah, I mean, often, you know, just because I hate to say it, but the standards of, you know, success or industry are pretty low. You get a lot of people that are in the fitness industry because they couldn't get a job anywhere else, you know, and they were good at sports and they were the jock. So they started here and then they had to figure the rest out. People that come with some corporate background have some, you know, basic skills around time management, project management, self-discipline.
Time management.
Like they can spell, you know, they can write, like they have a leg up over, you know, the kid who like got D's in class, right? So, you know, oftentimes, you know, we see people with a corporate background come in, invest in some strategy and some skills. And, you know, again, it comes down to success is really three things. Do you have the drive to go do it, right? Do you have the will? Do you have the skill, right? And if you don't, you acquire the skill and invest in developing the skills, and that's an ongoing journey. And then do you have the capacity? Do you have the time to go do it? And if you have those three things, you're going to succeed. And that's really what you need. You need the drive, you need the skill, and you need the capacity to go execute. And a lot of people, as a corporate background, they come in, A, they have the drive, right? They want to leave their job and follow up their career path they love. B, they've got some skills they come preloaded with. Now they just need to gain some more skills. And they've got capacity because they've learned some self-management principles of like, wake up, go to work, you know, block time, execute, focus on projects. And that's some stuff that a lot of people struggle with that don't have that corporate background experience, that definitely gives you a leg up on, you know, others that are starting from a different place.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Great advice. Next question we've got is from, let me get his full name. This is from Tom Spence 11. Do you think it is silly to become a PT at this time in the industry? I think when he's saying this time, depending on when you're listening to this, he's talking about coming out of a global pandemic.
Yeah, you know, we work with a lot of brand new, some of our biggest partners are the largest certification providers in the world, right? Like NASM, who's producing 50,000 personal trainers a year, and other partners who work with in different countries that are similar run rate on new PTs. And we offer courses and education for, you know, new PTs on getting their first group of clients and kind of their fundamental business skills to get going. We see many succeeding, you know, dramatically. It's a great time to be entering the market because there's shifts in the market. So, again, you got a lot of people who used to go to the gym, aren't going to the gym anymore, still want to get a, you know, they still have the same desire, right? They want to get out of pain. They want to lose weight. They want to get stronger, but they're looking for a new way to get to that goal, right? And whether you look at the evolutions in just offering an online, you know, service of coaching, people can get there better, faster, easier. It also opens up new market share, right? So a lot of people that, you know, prospective customers who were scared to join the gym, like, you know, we see all the time people that say, I got to get in shape before I can go to the gym, right? Yeah. And the fitness industry, we're like, get in shape to go to the gym? What are you talking about? That's why we go to the gym, to get in shape. But there's a huge segment of the market that, you know, if you look at the overall population, a lot of people won't join a gym because they're intimidated of that environment. They're intimidated of going into an environment they don't feel confident. They feel like other people are going to be looking at them, making fun of them. They're insecure about their weight or lack of, like, you know, ability to move their body and all kinds of stuff. And when they're in the comfort and safety of their own environment at home, doing a remote coaching session or working with a coach remotely, they can gain some traction and results. They can gain some confidence, and they can build up to where then they feel comfortable joining a gym. So we start to open up new market share and new market opportunities by, again, changing the way the customer can engage a product or service offering to get to the outcome. So again, the world of a PT, because previously there was one business model for PT: get certified, like pretty much join a gym, clean treadmills for 3 years, hopefully get enough free assessments and convert them to paying clients to get some traction in working with some clients, and then maybe, you know, make income there and go become a fitness manager, because that was the only career progression out of the PT side, or break off and work for yourself and then have your own PT business and then eventually own a studio or you know, boutique space. Now there's new opportunities, right? There's new ways to get started with less barrier to entry, with more ways to engage the market faster. Again, you got to still have a business strategy. You got to have a plan. You got to have some skills. But we're seeing people that, you know, starting brand new at a different type of model that wasn't possible 6 months ago. And, you know, they're getting up to, you know, full-time income, and they got a better lifestyle because they can work banker's hours, not these split shift PT hours, which was previously you have to be up crack of dawn and you have to be working late at night when everybody else isn't working. Now that's changing, right? And the startup costs are less in most cases, and you don't have to commute, travel, and all that kind of stuff that gives you a lot more leverage in the online model, again, when you get the skills to go do it right. And there's a huge market that's, you know, that's ready, willing to engage, that, you know, when you get the skills of how to do that, it's a great opportunity, because they're sitting around and they're not all going to Peloton. They're looking for more support and a more coach guide experience to how to get to where they want to be.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really good. I definitely think, you know, with anyone that wants to step into it right now, I think that going the conventional path is probably the only thing I'd advise against. Mm. It almost feels like there's
like
some,
going into a big box gym.
Yeah. Like the path that Sean just mentioned, like free assessments and all that sort of stuff. Like that doesn't seem to be a good idea. But the unconventional paths have more legitimacy than any other path right now, because there's so much disruption. Mm. But yeah, I'd be curious to see what the numbers show on these PT companies being signed up over the next few years. Because yeah, I could easily see it going either way. So I guess we'll see. Okay, next question. We've got from, again, I didn't get permission from this guy to ask the question. So initials JS. He wanted to know, and this is a question actually... obviously, you've had a lot of experience with, and I guess this is what you do as well. But he had a question around mentors, and he asked advice around how can I surround myself with the best mentors. Obviously, you know, the question kind of comes into that. There's, you know, paid mentorship and unpaid mentorship, and I'm sure, like we've had both, Sean, you've had both as well. So, what are some criteria that you use, or maybe some mistakes that you've made in the past when seeking out paid and unpaid mentors?
Great question. You know, and I'll answer that question with kind of my own journey, is that, you know, most cases you get what you pay for. You know, free advice is generally not worth a ton. And, you know, investing in, you know, having an expert to support you on your journey is always going to pay off if you're committed. Here's where it doesn't pay off. People invest in, you know, it's like hiring a fitness coach. And then I go eat bonbons, and I only show up for workouts once every 2 weeks, and then I blame my fitness coach. No, that's your fault, because you're not committing to go all in, and do what you need to do on your side of the street. But if you invest in a coach, and generally speaking, usually when you have some skin in the game, you're going to show up better in terms of your commitment to your side of the street in the process of your focus, your discipline, your execution. And if you commit to do what you need to get an ROI, you will always get an ROI, and you will always get a return on investment. And, you know, there's many times that I had a desire to, you know, invest in my business or in high level coaching or consulting, and, you know, including business coaches and experts and consultants I've paid, you know, six figure sums for a year and then some. And, you know, did I have six figures sitting around? You know, did I have 150K sitting around to pay Dan Kennedy at the time when I hired him? No, you know, but I invested and I stretched and I, you know, and it was a traumatic win for me. It was a dramatic win for my business. And I got, you know, 5-10X plus ROI and then some. And, you know, I think you've got to stretch and hustle to, you know, to earn and to reinvest in your business. And then when you put your butt on the line where you got to, you know, put up or shut up in terms of doing your part to get a return, generally speaking, you know, and I know about this myself, I'm going to make it happen. Right. So, and you've got to make a decision on your side of the street. If you're someone who's willing to, even when you're scared, you know, find a way, make an investment and then do your part to make it happen, then you will win. And so when you do that, you're going to win. Now, here's the other thing. If you're not willing to do that, then just don't waste your time and don't waste someone else's, because you can't, you know, it's, again, I can't sign up with a fitness coach, kind of like, you know, weak commit to the process and don't really do what they tell me to do and eat a bunch of junk and not show up for workouts and then be disappointed. Right. Cause that's on you. And that's on me if I show up that way. So, you know, find a way, commit to the process and go all in. And when you approach life and business and anything you do with that kind of mindset and attitude, you will always be successful. And I, you know, I've seen that happen in my own life. I've seen that happen in the lives of thousands of business owners we've successfully, you know, supported and led through all kinds of crazy situations, where the odds were stacked against them. But this is how you win. And, you know, it most importantly comes from the way you decide. We call it your inner stance, right? The way you decide to show up and engage what's in front of you, that stance, right, which is really a mindset, and a way that you show up in your actions and behavior and attitude, will ultimately be the biggest predictor of your success than anything else.
And how many people, like, what is generally the point at which people show up, at least at your doorstep, looking for, you know, consulting, mentorship? Is it like dire straits, make or break moment? Or is it like, hey, I'm like kind of a little bit comfortable, I'm ready for growth? Or is it like, hey, I'm smashing it, but I need to go to like the next level? Like, what is like the breakdown there? I'm sure there's like a average.
Yeah, all the above, right? So we get people who are, it's time where if they don't take some action, like, they're not going to succeed and they might go out of business.
But is that the majority of people?
No.
Okay.
I would say it varies, right? So we at NP, we have four product lines. We serve brandly newly certified trainers. We serve, you know, kind of those that are already have experience and are now starting their own business and like taking their full-time income to really a business that can grow beyond themselves. And then we have existing studio and gym owners who are single location, multi-location. So within that kind of ecosystem, obviously the, you know, there's different levels of kind of desire and drive and measures of success, different pain, right? So, I would say we get, you know, as it's really about what is, you know, the question is what, you know, when is it time for someone to make a decision to commit to their goals? And there's lots of things that influence that, right? So a lot of times we see it's like, one of those is, yeah, I'm going out of business. If I don't get my crap together, I'm done, right? The other time is like, hey, I'm getting married and I need now to like pay for a wedding and buy a house for my family. And, you know, I got to make more money. Or, hey, Raf, new dad, right? Like, I'm sure being a dad changed your perspective around like being a provider and like actually having, you know, money stocked away for your kids' education and school and university. And these are starts of things that we start to think about that create internal pressure for us to take action, right? Which we, maybe when we're 20 and single, we don't think about and wasn't on the radar, but now there's some new dynamics in our life that force us to reevaluate where we're committed, where we're focused, and the outcomes we're producing in this area of our life in terms of money, in terms of quality of life, free time for our family, work-life balance, in terms of satisfaction, fulfillment in our meaningful work. Like you mentioned, the career transition of the guy, corporate, you know, job and doesn't love it and wants to move to fitness. So all these things that influence timing and urgency and pressure and opportunity for us to make decisions about the course of our lives, right? And really business is such a big at the center of the course of our lives, because our job and our career determines the amount of money we'll make, which determines a lot of the quality of life we're going to have, which also determines the amount of, you know, free time we get to have, the things we get to provide to those we care about and ourselves, and gets determined, you know, the impact we make on the world and how good we feel about that in terms of our legacy, right? So all those things are critical things for every human being to decide. And there's lots of different forces in play that kind of surface those decision-making moments in our life that we get to, you know, we need to make some decisions, and it's time to, you know, to make some big decisions. I think all of those are we see as opportunities where we get to evaluate people. But generally speaking, you know, it's not like I woke up today and I could have watched Netflix or I could have called a business coach. It's usually not one of those two things, right? It's usually something else under the surface that is driving us. And generally those are the big forces, you know, that determine us getting off our butts and kind of changing the default path we're on and making some decisions to put ourselves on a different trajectory for life.
Yeah. For us, it was watching our most profitable gym go from, like, I don't know, 90 clients down to 20 in the space of like 3 months, and not knowing what the hell was going wrong. But yeah, we made it out. We survived. That's good. Okay, so we'll go one more question here, Sean. This is actually not any specific person asked this question, but it does come up a lot on the after show. We answer it to the best of our ability, but I'm sure that you have your variation of it. And that is, people always want to know, what are the best qualifications to get as a coach or PT? You work in all different markets, so there's obviously lots of different courses. So maybe the best idea, or maybe the best way to answer this would be, maybe what online courses do you think are best that anyone can access all over the world? Obviously, Australians can't access the American coaching certifications, but from the stuff that you see that is, you know, amongst your clients or the employees of your clients, what seems to be some of the best education stuff that anyone can access online?
Yeah, great question. I think there's probably a couple of clarifying questions I'd encourage anyone to ask themselves. So are you brand new, just starting out, like never done anything? Or do you have some experience? Do you have, in Australia, you know, we call it a cert level 3, a cert level 4. Do you have that? Now we're looking at advanced kind of courses, what makes sense. But ultimately what you need, the competency you need to develop first thing if you want to be successful as a coach, is how to deliver results to your clients. So what is the knowledge I need to be able to lead clients to successful outcomes in achieving their goals, right? Whether that, and again, that depends on the market, right? Am I working with people who are want to lose fat, who want to build muscle, who want to get out of pain, who want to get better in their sport? Like, again, who is the customer I want to work with, right? What are the problems I love solving? And then what's the business model ensures I make a profit doing it? So we talked about the Thrive Zone. Come back to that Thrive Zone model. So start with, who are the customers you love working with? You know, and you get to, we all know, I love spending time with these people. I can't believe I get paid to actually spend time with these people. This is like fun for me, right? So that's a lead, your, you know, go in that direction when you find that. And then these are things I love studying and learning and teaching and sharing with people. I love helping them get, you know, these outcomes and solving these problems and achieving these goals. So let that be your guide. And then this is the model I wanted to, you know, go into develop a business. So let that Thrive Zone, those kind of questions for you, guide you in the right direction, because to be honest, the answer is very individualized for each person, right? So if you want to go work with grandma and helping her, you know, avoid the nursing home, that's going to be a very different educational foundation that you're going to need to learn and develop to lead success, as opposed to helping bodybuilders get shredded for competition, right? So go back to that Thrive Zone, answer those questions for you. And then from there, you know, we can start to guide you in that direction, and ask people, you know, that you admire, you know, what do they study? What would they recommend? People that are working with the types of customers you want to work with, people that are, you know, you respect and admire, do you want to have a business like theirs? Use that to guide, you know, to guide you in the right path. And the great thing about, I think, about our industry is there are so many good things to learn and so many good people you can learn from. And I think always investing in education is key. I will say one of the most important things is that, you know, I know a lot of people who have 30 certifications after their name and alphabet soup in terms of letters, and they've been doing this for decades and they're dead broke. You know, dead broke. And you know, they're still at the end of the day, no money, right? Dealing the same thing they were 10, 20 years ago. And it's because they haven't invested in some of the business skills and companies they need to monetize that education. So as much as you're gonna develop yourself in competency to lead clients to success and fitness outcomes, you need to be developing a foundation in business acumen and skill sets, because that ensures you can A, monetize and make money, and B, continue to reinvest in continued growth and success, so you can you know, not be in the same position in a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years from now. So, you know, make the investment on both sides. It's critical. It's why most PTs churn out after, you know, a year, 18 months, is because they have zero business acumen to actually monetize that knowledge that they've developed in their, you know, in their foundational courses. So make sure you do both things. Both things matter. And we want to see you, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're already way above and beyond other people, you know, that just do the bare minimum. It means you're sincere about your education, you're sincere about your desire to learn and grow, and make sure you're also investing in your business development so you can be relevant and stick around and grow through this thing. Because we want you here in a year, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. It takes great coaches to be in this thing for a period of time, you know, number of years, that actually get to really make an impact and change the world. You know, we want you part of that journey with us. So make sure you're investing in yourself, invest in your education on both sides to grow.
Yeah.
It seems like as well, the education component is a bit, I don't know if it's unique, but in a lot of other industries, because you can just rise up within the ranks more easily and do really well, there's maybe less of a demand for it. Like if you're just a really good lawyer or business consultant or doctor, you don't need to do that much like outside education. You just start and like you're a shit kicker at the beginning, you suck, and you just be really good at it. You just like keep working your way up and you keep getting hired into new positions. And I guess maybe there is some mentoring through the process, you're learning, but you just stay really good at what you do. You keep going up and up and up. Or if you're just like a basketball player, you just get all the way to the NBA. You would make more money if you had social media strategy, but you still do pretty well once you get to the NBA. Whereas it seems like in fitness, because there's not that many companies where you can really rise up and do well, you just mostly get stuck servicing clients. If you're just a trainer, even if you're a really good trainer, you don't get that really good reward, even if you are really good at giving clients a good result.
Yeah, if you're not investing in your business education, right? So there's tremendous opportunity here from an entrepreneurial standpoint if you're willing to invest in your business education development and then start to, you know, ultimately work for yourself. You've got tremendous opportunity to grow your income quickly, grow your business, you know, quickly if you take that into your own hands. And that's the great thing about the time we're in is, you know, there's never been a better time to start a business than now. The barriers to entry are really removed. There's shifts in the market. There's a market opportunity. You can be way more agile in taking advantage of that opportunity than, you know, a big box gym that's sitting on a 10-year lease and an empty gym and recurring revenue down, and you know, they're done, right? So you get to not have to deal with any of that stuff and just jump in and you know, a little bit of skills and a little bit of hustle. You know, you replace your income and you go full time and you keep going. So this is the time to do that. And again, if you're passionate about this thing, if you know this is what you want to be doing, this is the time. Invest in yourself, commit to the journey, just go all in. That's what it takes. And you will be successful. Now is a great time for all those reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that really brings us to the end of this new show format. So depending on how you guys thought it went, please, you know, more questions, more, you know, specific detailed questions can only make this show better. Sean has a lot of answers, so it's not just us all the time. So yeah, if you like this format of the show, just some catching up, some current events, and then some business specific questions, I would love to do another episode in the future. So give us the feedback, let us know, send a screenshot, tag us, tag MP, and yeah, hopefully we'll do the next one and answer even more of the questions. But Sean, thanks so much for coming on again. We've obviously got all your coaching programs. People hear about it all the time. That is linked up in the description of this episode. But that's it for this week. Sean, any parting words before we let the audience go?
Yeah, it's just a pleasure to be here with you guys. Look, I think if you're still listening to the show, you know, you guys inspire us with your passion, your enthusiasm to go out to serve, make a difference in the world for yourself, for your family, for the market you want to make a difference with, and you know, jump on the train with us. You know, at Mind Muscle Project and MP, we are passionate about this work. We're committed to it. You know, these guys have been at this several years now. NP, we're in our 14th year now of business. And, you know, this is something that we're committed to for the next several years ahead. And we want to see this community grow. We want to see the impact grow that we can make on the world. And this is the time to do so. So we look forward to talking in the future and, you know, speak to you on a future show or on a call down the road.
Perfect. All right, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. We'll speak to you next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.